Good morning and welcome to 30 Minute Reviews. I am Adam. In this industry upheaval edition of 30 Minute Reviews, as we sit here on the cusp of another major disruption, because it's like, well, we started doing this podcast almost 8 years ago. It'll be eight years in a few weeks. We launched it in early August 2015. And since then, we had a pandemic, and now this. And we've seen a lot of consolidation in the entertainment industry. We've seen a lot of big changes. And I think that we are on the precipice of yet another one of these, which, you know, will make for some interesting times. So, let's address the big issue that we have going on here. First and foremost, what's it called? First and foremost, there is the problem of, well, not problem, I mean, the Screen Actors Guild's on strike. And the Screen Actors Guild being on strike is a, you know, it's the first time it's happened since, I think, 1961. And and at that point, it was about TV residuals. Now it's about streaming residuals and about artificial intelligence and a bunch of other problems, too. And, you know, it's looking more and more like the AMPTP was never intending to negotiate in good faith, and they were just kind of hoping that they would, no deal would be reached. Then they would call for an arbitrator, and then an arbitrator would come in and have to, you know, mediate on it while not being an expert on the topic, where, you know, while they're negotiating, you know, SAG and WGA, are bringing in experts. They're not just doing, you know, oh, this is what we, you know, what we think could happen, or we're not going to take it at face value. We're going to bring in our own experts in artificial intelligence to be like, here's what could be done, X, Y, and Z. And then they would use that lack of experience to get a win, which is kind of what it is. So, as more and more comes out, the more and more it makes the AMPTP look worse, and it's just kind of not great. And look, case in point, if you can't afford to pay someone, you're not entitled to their labor. That's kind of the key here. And if you can't afford to pay your writers and your actors their proper wage, then, you know, it is what it is. You shouldn't have a studio then. And part of it is, too, it's like we look at, like, these, you know, these things, and it's like, Jesus fucking Christ, this person's texting, so it's stuck. Yeah, okay, now he goes. But it's like, we look at, like, you know, everything that goes on in this industry, and it's all coming to a head now with this strike, where it's like, look, we need to, we need to get, you know, residuals paid on a regular basis. We need to get residuals paid out on a normal, you know, schedule and on time and to a living degree, and that's just not happening. I mean, one of the things was, like, you know, the AM, like, SAG said we'll increase the penalties for not paying on time, and the AMPTP was like, look, we get that we don't pay on time, and we're not going to start, but also we're not going to increase penalties for not doing it. And it's just, it's things like that where it's like, look, you guys were never negotiating in good faith if you're just going to be entrenched in where you are and never even make an attempt to negotiate. And it's like, this is not the first time this happened. This also happened with the WGA back when the WGA went on strike about a month ago, or over a month ago at this point, where it showed the, you know, they showed their, what's it called? They showed their, you know, their demands and how that, you know, how they were laid out. And then when they had their demands listed, it's like, oh, these are fairly reasonable, and they were unwilling to negotiate even the smallest amount. And it just doesn't make them look good. And this has just been a continuous PR nightmare for the studios. And it's just, it didn't need to be this way. It didn't need to be this way. If you just treat people right, it doesn't need to be this bad. Where it's like, we're now a week into this and there's no end in sight. Like, which is probably the biggest issue here, is that there is no even look toward, they're moving toward a, you know, toward a negotiation, or like, look, we will concede on this, or anything like that. Like, we have no movement towards, okay, so we are going to, you know, give a good deal, or something resembling a deal to the, you know, to them, or anything like that, and it's just like, you gotta, a negotiation has to move. And then it's like going on TV and being like, look, we can't afford it. It's like, yeah, that's bullshit. And the thing is, too, it's like some of the things that the AMPTP are trying to do is tantamount to union busting. I mean, it's not explicitly break up the union, but it's creating situations in which the union will be unable to sustain itself. It's the same thing where it's like, we see it in Florida a little bit with some new regulations to teachers' unions, where it's like, the percent that vote to join the union has to be higher now to maintain the union. And the on top of that, too, it's like, it's not, you know, there are more barriers to entry to join the union in Florida, with the intent to break up the unions. And it's kind of the same thing here. The provision about using AI to, to create background actors in shows, and stuff like that, where, like, say you work for Blue Bloods, this is the example I used, don't be aware of spoilers, last week, say you work on Blue Bloods, they'll do a full body scan of you when you get to set, and then you will be, they will forever, from then on out, be allowed to use your likeness as however they want. They want to put you on something else, that's fine. And the issue is, like, yeah, there's Jennifer Lawrence who's in SAG. Yeah, there's Meryl Streep who's in SAG. Yeah, there's Paul Rudd who's in SAG. Yeah, there's, you know, all these other huge names, like Tom Hanks and all these other major, major people. But at the same time, SAG has almost 200,000 members. And I don't know about you, but I can't name 200,000 actors. And the stat is something like 87% of actors do not qualify for health insurance under, you know, the SAG agreement because they don't make enough money. They're working other jobs and they're doing other things. I mean, acting is basically a side gig for them. And doing small roles and you know, stuff like that is how you get discovered to do bigger roles. I mean, this year we have Dune Part 2 coming out. Dune Part 2 will be introducing Fade Rautha, who was not in Dune Part 1. Fade Rautha will be played by, you know, Austin Butler. Austin Butler previously starred as Elvis in Elvis, and he has starred in, what was it, he was in Yoga Hosers, the Kevin Smith movie that wasn't very good. But before that, he was Teen Bad Boy, was his big acting credit. He was on Hannah Montana, he was on Zoe 101, but he has appeared in these things, and then before that he was a background actor. So, number one, what they're doing by saying we're going to get rid of that is you're going to get rid of people who qualify for membership, which will lower the ranks and make it that way the union can't sustain. And then on top of that, too, the issue is you are going to make it so that way the... What the fuck is this guy doing? Just pick a lane. Stop straddling the line. And then on top of that, there is this issue where... if that's the case, you're also going to pull the ladder up behind you. Not pull the ladder, that's the wrong word, because pulling the ladder up behind you implies that it's actors doing this. They're going to pull the ladder up and be like, this is it, we don't need any more after this. Where that's just kind of weird. And we've seen this year the kind of visceral reaction to resurrecting dead actors. And look, in the beginning when they were doing this, it was kind of, you know, kind of cool once or twice. Like, seeing Tarkin again in Rogue One was kind of cool. And it's like, seeing, seeing Leia again after Carrie Fisher died, was Billy Lord as a stand-in, her daughter, and then, you know, using a CGI composite over her, or young Luke. But those things started to lose their luster once they started to look weird. And it's like, oh, there's an uncanny valley effect to this. And again, there's a difference between CGI de-aging someone who's alive and CGI resurrecting someone who's been dead. But this idea that, like, oh, we're going to bring back, you know, we're going to have dead actors be back and doing that, it kind of rubs me the wrong way. But look, I mean, it's hard to not support the Screen Actors Guild here. And I think that, like, it needs to be done. It needs to be done. So look, let's hope this comes to an end, and I hope it comes out to an end in favor of the Screen Actors Guild. And I think one of the things that would be smart going, I think they do already have, is a strike fund to help fund their lesser, you know, their lesser, you know, lesser earning actors. But a lot of them already have second jobs as it is, so, because they're barely making enough from acting. I mean, again, the threshold to get health insurance is 27,000, I think, or 29,000, and 87% don't make that from acting. And it's a sign that something is severely wrong if that is a major, if that's something that's happening. And then you're like, well, I think we're paying too much to actors. And to see, like, some former studio exec be like, well, look, why don't we do this? Why don't we have the actors, you know, take a pay cut and the CEOs take a pay cut as a sign of goodwill? And it's like, but here's the thing. Again, another example that is them trying to bust up the union. Because it's, you know, if you have an actor who is making that much money and they are, you know, and they are functionally funding everything that needs to happen for the union, you know, to continue to exist. Like, they are, you know, they are the ones who are funding the health insurance. They are the ones who are funding all of the benefits that get the pension and all of that. So saying, oh, well, give them a pay cut too, is, again, you're going to cut the services that SAG can provide in an effort to, you know, to, again, break up the union. But I can't say break up the union, because that would be union busting, which is illegal. And look, I think this is just a, you know, just something that needs to be done. And I think the thing is, too, the trades need to do a better job of covering it. The trades have been covering the strike with a very pro-AMPTP bias. Because at the end of the day, Variety, Hollywood Reporter, you know, Deadline, they have a vested interest in keeping the strike going. They have a vested interest in the strike continuing, and because they'll get people reading their site. The longer the strike goes on, the more everyday people are going to be reading their website to get news about the strike. And they have a vested interest in keeping the strike going. On the other side of things, ABC is not giving positive coverage to the strike. CNN is not giving positive coverage to the strike. MSNBC is not giving positive coverage to the strike. Fox was never going to give positive coverage to the strike because they don't like, you know, they don't like unions and they don't like Hollywood. So they were never going to give anything resembling positive coverage to the strike. And the reason is ABC is owned by Disney, who's a member of the AMPTP. You know, what was the other big one? You know, CNN is owned by Warner Brothers. MSNBC is owned by Universal. So we're seeing the issue with the mass conglomerates operating these news companies. And I think that it is kind of, but the thing we needed to do was back when it came out during the emails, and I realized there was a lot bigger fish to fry with the emails that came from former owner of the Washington Commanders, Schneider. Like, there were bigger fish to fry there. There were bigger issues at hand. But One of the things that was released and revealed during that was not touched on after, and there's a reason why, was that reporters at ESPN were coordinating with the owners of the teams during the lockout to keep, what's it called, to give it a pro-owner bias. And ESPN, like it or not, is the quote-unquote newspaper of record for sports. They are the source that I would say 9 out of 10 sports fans go to get their sports news. And to see that they were making sure that their coverage was being put in the best light possible for the owners should have woken people up to, like, oh shit, this is not good. Something is amiss here, and that is a big problem. And it wasn't. It was ignored. And granted, there were other issues going on that needed to be addressed. And that was, you know, that was not necessarily the biggest one of them, but it did need to be addressed. And one final note before we wrap up for today, because I'm nearing my job. If there's a rumor that Disney is for sale, which there is a rumor now, let's keep this in perspective. If it's being reported by a not quite reputable news site, I'm not saying it's not reputable. I have no say one way or the other I think it was Screen Geek, and I saw WDW News had also reported it. If those two sites are the only two reporting that a major Fortune 500 company is putting itself up for sale to be possibly acquired, don't put stock in that rumor. Because if that is actually accurate, the Wall Street Journal will have reported on it. Bloomberg will have reported on it beyond just their speculation after the interview with Bob Iger. CNBC would have reported on it. The New York Times would have reported on it. Deadline, Hollywood Reporter. What was the other big one? Entertainment Weekly. They would have ran an article about how, oh, hey, one of the 5 major studios is looking to be bought out. And I think that if that was the case, then that is it. And the other thing is, too, it's like, I don't know how sound of an investment, you know, Disney is at this point. Because it's like, look, they haven't had great returns on investment recently. Avatar made a lot of money. But, you know, a lot of their more recent movies have not turned a profit. And it's not even like Hollywood accounting hasn't turned a profit. It is the movies haven't turned a profit in other meaningful ways. Where it's like, it's not even making back the production budget. Like, Indiana Jones is not going to make back the production budget. I think that's a foregone conclusion at this point. Or we're pretty close to a foregone conclusion at this point. That Indiana Jones was a box office failure. Not a Flash box office failure, but it was a box office failure nonetheless. Elemental, I think, may have just barely made back its production budget, not including marketing and other costs. What else does Disney have? I mean, Haunted Mansion is not going to be a massive return, and the movie's expensive. And that is where a lot of this comes from. So I don't know if I'm Apple or if I'm someone else, I'm like, oh, let me do this and let me jump into this right now. And on top of that, too, it's like announcing you're putting yourself up for sale during a strike where your most important laborers are currently out on strike is not the brightest decision on the planet. Though they also put a $330 million Indiana Jones movie in theaters, so whatever, it is what it is. But we will wrap up there for today. And until our next episode, which will be, which will be next week, we're going to do a regular episode, and then we're also going to do an episode about, Pokemon Pinball, Ruby and Sapphire, of Backlog Files. That'll be next week, and we also have our regularly scheduled episode next week, but until then, have a great rest of your week.